Okay, good evening, everyone. How's everyone doing? I am back on the art category for today. I'm going to be discussing how to take a really sort of a fine art approach to what we're doing in photography. Well, more specifically, the approach that I take in photography. So I have a few examples in mind that I want to share. We'll go over the raw footage and just see what the original files look like, and then how I approach the work in order to give it that fine art photography style. Because there is a huge difference between like documentary photography, commercial photography, fine art photography. So for me, I gravitated more towards the fine art style because that's just, it fit more with my personality, with the way that I like to work, the way that I look at things. And so you can use the fine art approach in commercial work, as long as, you know, you just have the right idea of what the brand wants to have in terms of style. But for me, I'm basically looking at it from a fine art perspective, and so that's what we'll go over today. Okay. So I'm gonna start with, this is the photograph from New York. And this does have some editing on it, but I want to go back to the original file. Before I did any edits to it. So I think, and it looks very blue, I probably had it in the wrong white, on the wrong white balance. So this may be tungsten white balance when I should have had it on daylight. But I was inside taking a lot of interior photographs, and I was in the subway, again, interior. You got a lot of tungsten lighting down there. But then when I come back outside, I should have changed the white balance on my camera to daylight, so that you don't have that blue tint on the building. Of course, the sky is supposed to be blue cyan, but yeah, you're just gonna have that blue tint in the photograph if you're shooting in manual and you have the wrong the wrong white balance. Yes, you can fix it in editing, but it's not gonna be as good in terms of the color tone. If you change it in editing, to me, it just is not the same. There's a difference between the two. But I wanted to share the original first because I want people to see like where I started compared to what I ended up with. So in the final shot, or the photograph I have, this building's not there anymore. This trees, the tree branches that are kind of poking in here, they're not there anymore. You have like a plane or a jet. This little line here. Something is in the air flying across, leaving a white streak, and so I took that out. And then you have the normal dust that's on the camera sensor. So you'll see those little spots. Sometimes they'll poke through if there's a piece of grain or something on the sensor, on the glass. You'll definitely see that. So you do want to make sure that you clean your camera sensor. Most cameras, I don't have the mirrorless, so it's really good to get in the air pressure and spray out the inside of your camera, of course, without damaging it. But definitely to get all that dust and grains and whatnot off of the camera sensor. And that's the other reason why you don't want to have your camera unprotected if you're shooting at the beach, because there's a lot of the fine sand that's in the air, and that gets inside of your camera body. It can be really difficult to get it out. But for this particular shot, it's just like, what do you want to see as a subject, right? And for me, I just wanted to see the Trade Center, the One World Trade Center. Everything else in the shot is distracting. And like I said before, the color is off. I do love the texture that is on the building. And it looks like these are solar panels that can turn. So that's really interesting. And it's very reflective. It's reflecting the buildings. It's reflecting everything, right? So it's not only trying to find the right composition, but to cut down on as many reflections as possible, especially if you want to leave the image in color. So yeah, that's where I started. But any angle, because I did like a 360 around the building just to see like what's the best composition that I can get. So I tried several different compositions. I tried to fit the entire skyscraper in the shot. I don't have a wide angle lens. So the best that I could do is probably go to like a 24 millimeter at the widest. And of course, this building is so tall that I can't see the spire on top, like not at all. So yeah, it's the most challenging like composition that I've had to capture just because of the size of the building itself. But this is as close as I got from like fitting the entire building in the composition. Now, I did capture this shot that shows a little bit more. Yeah, so this shows a little bit more of the building, the door. But see, again, down here, you see the building. The building across from it is being reflected on it, so it's catching reflections from everywhere. And then on a cloudy day, the building picks up all the clouds as reflections in here. So you just get reflections a lot of times off the building. So for me, I just decided, okay, I'm just gonna take the color out and then try to get the building out of the out of the composition, because this building over here on the side is just very distracting. All right, so for the landscape format, this is what I had, right? So before I started taking a bunch of stuff out, I went into Camera Raw and I started to erase the branches, the plane or whatever that a jet was, is leaving the jet stream in the sky. I like took that out. And so those are more minor edits that you can take out in Camera Raw. I don't know how well you can take things out of the image in Lightroom. So once I got to this particular point, and decided to go with the monochrome, I kicked the highlights way up, the whites way up, the blacks are really down. I wanted a high contrast with the photograph in general. And even though my darks are like bottomed out at -100, my highlights and my whites are up so high that the picture doesn't come across as dark. Like you can still see plenty of detail up here. So, and in the sky, It's got this slight gradation here. You can see how the sunlight is kind of getting cut off by the building here. But then, of course, I had this part over here. So once I got the lighting and everything the way that I wanted, you can also change the temperature. Now, the temperature is at 4850, right? Now, if you adjust the temperature, it's going to change. So yes, you're using monochrome, but you still have color tones in the photograph. So any change that you make to the color temperature is going to change the tone of the black and white photograph. And then there's the effects over here. All I did with this one, the grain is all the way down to zero, and then the texture is all the way up at plus 100. Now, it just depends on how much texture you want in the photograph. But for me on this particular shot, see, that's without the texture, or that's minus 100, so it's really soft. You go to zero, around zero. That's, you know, it's okay. But for me, I really wanted that texture to pop, the lighting to pop, the highlights to pop on the building and really emphasize the texture on the building. And so I went all the way up to 100 with that one. And then the last thing I did, the optics, which is just remove the chromatic aberration, which is not as important in black and whites, but again, you can still see the tone, so I do turn that on. And then the lens correction. So I've got, I don't think I have any distortion on here, but you can distort the lens. Right, you can distort the lens. And in the vignette, make it a little darker on the edges, a little lighter on the edges. I left it as balanced as 100 because I didn't want the vignette to look unnatural or like it was just pasted on. So I left it as is. And yeah, it's the same thing for this one. Like in the camera raw file, you can see the building is still in here. So there it is at the top peeking through. And so, yeah, the only thing that I focused on is the lighting texture. You can copy the exact same adjustments from one photo to the next photo. Because if you're having this in a series, you really do want the style to look the same more times than not. So just having that level of consistency is really good. But my approach is go ahead and have the adjustments the same, the editing adjustments as far as exposure, highlight, shadows, there's the blacks. Most of the time that works with the same settings. Sometimes if the lighting outside changes, especially on a cloudy day, partly cloudy day, if it's partly cloudy, the sun's coming in and out, you can have the same adjustments from one photo to the next, but certain photos are just look like aberrations, right? They'll look really, some of them be too bright, some too dark. So you'll just have to adjust accordingly, but I kind of do like a blanket set of once I figure out how I want everything edited, I just copy that same setting to multiple photographs and then go from there. If I need to make more adjustments after that, then that's fine. But just to get them in the ballpark of the same look or the same style. And yeah, I just couldn't get an angle where I wasn't getting this building in the shot. And I didn't want to crop the photo down, right? Because I wanted to get the tip top of this building, of the skyscraper. So I left it in. But in this particular shot, I was able to get more of the door in it. And so this is a very awkward composition in terms of the angle of the building. It's not straight up and down. It's really not even dead center. It's a little, you know, awkward. And it's the only way that I felt like I could get the composition to fit within the frame. And I'm at 24 meters on this. My aperture is at 7.1. It's 1/500th of a second, so it's really fast. And then the ISO is at 100, so the camera sensor wasn't very sensitive to light at all. There was so much light that I kind of had to kick the ISO up. The aperture can be smaller. And and the shutter speed is fast, like really fast. And I still got plenty of light in, so that was good on that part. And then of course the building's gone. Let me see if I can enlarge this one a little bit. Yep. So, and then on this particular image, the highlights, the midtones are brighter for sure. And then on this particular image, yeah, so it's a little bit, the shadows are jumping in, especially in the sky. And I really had to do some work to blend the building out over here. Yep, so that was very, very interesting to me. Now this one, also one of my favorites, same location, just this is the interior. Let me see if this is the same day. All right, so yes, this particular image, and let me go ahead and tag this one. All the PSD files are purple, have a purple dot. This one is the original. Yes, that's what it really looks like. So that's my point. Like this is my point exactly, to where there is no definition to this. Right? There's no definition to it. The problem with this photograph, it's too flat. It's really flat. So that means that you have a little bit of highlight right here. This little white line that you see there, that's a little bit of highlight. You get a little piece of highlight in here. And that's about it. There's no more highlights. The shadows are not very deep at all. You have some deep shadows that are just lines here. You have one up here at the top. You have, just look at what's the darkest point on the image, right? So those are your shadows. Maybe a little sliver of shadow on here on the bottom. Everything else is mid-tone. So there's no depth to the photograph, which means that the photograph looks flat, right? So to me, and some photographers like a lot of the lighting in the midtones, for the most part, I'm the total opposite. I like to cover the spectrum of the tonal range. So you have certain parts of the photograph that are really dark, certain parts of the photograph that are really bright in the highlights. Excuse me. And then I have like a balance of midtones. And so when you go out, you capture your photos, they're going to look bland, they're going to look plain, and you have to give them some semblance of personality. And so for me, like I said, I really push the shadows and the highlights to the extreme. And then I start pulling back to see where's a good, you know, place to land, you know, like a middle ground. So on the finished photo, this is what you have. So I like the lines in the original image, but how do you give those lines depth? Or how do you add depth to an image that's so flat? You push your highlights up, you bring your shadows down. Now, most photographers don't bring the shadows down as much as I do. But again, my point is it remains. So I will go ahead and open this one up. Yeah, so look at my exposure. It's kicked all the way down to -5. Highlights all the way up, +100. Blacks all the way down, -100. Whites all the way up, +100. So this is very extreme. And so you see what happens. The balance goes back to around 0. And it's entirely too bright. So if I bring my highlights down, right? I bring the whites down. I bring the shadows of the blacks up. And see, now it's flat. And it kind of looks stale, you know? And then if you change the color profile, you can go back to, just go to Adobe Color. And there you go. And so, yeah, it doesn't look great. it doesn't look very well. So monochrome, there's my blacks goes down, the whites all the way up, the highlights up, the exposure's down, and I think that's it. Now, you do have a contrast dial over here. I never use contrast. I just don't. You can, because it looks, I don't know what's the right word for it. I'm going to say manufactured. It just looks like it's manufactured when you use contrast instead. So instead of doing everything that I did, let's use contrast. So you kick the contrast up. And it's basically doing the same thing. Now the contrast is maxed out at this point, right? It's at +100. You can't push this any further. So for me, I tend to not use contrast because I want to have better control over the amount of contrast that's in the photograph. So there you go. So that is completely different in terms of style compared to where I started. it's just really different in style. Okay, I'm going to cancel that one out. This is another interior. And again, with the interiors, there was nothing really in the way. I could control the composition a lot more indoors. So with that one, I think this one is it. What was that, 9118? Yeah, so this is the original. Preview. It's not bad. It's really not bad. I like the composition, but I think I Yeah, I really wanted it to be more than a hallway. Right, because that's what it looks like. I think this down here on the right, this is the floor, if I remember correctly. So just the lighting and everything, it's just like I manipulated the space because of how I had the camera turned. And sometimes the camera doesn't know, is this a landscape shot or format or a portrait layout? So it'll kind of guess if you're kind of in between or you have the camera, you're holding the camera in a weird way. It'll just choose between one or the other. So a lot of times when I'm doing it, I have to, when I come home, I have to rotate the image to see what I can see the best angle I can get the composition at. But yeah, it's just the thing that's bothering me is the color tone. It's a little bit green. I won't even say that the white balance is off, but it might be off just a little bit. This might be fluorescent lighting instead of tungsten. I think that's what it is. So it's just a little bit off. And yes, fluorescent and tungsten on your white balance, or is they're similar, definitely not the same. You're gonna get a shift in the color tone when you change it from tungsten to fluorescent and vice versa. You will notice that, the color shift. And the other image, 9119, is similar. And this one, I took the complete opposite approach with it. Like for the finished piece, I really made the shadows dark. For this one, 9118, it's very bright, like high key photography, the lighting. So with high key photography, your highlights, you have a bunch of highlights, and then you go to midtones or secondary, and shadows are very minimal, if any. But again, the shadows, you get these lines in here, that's the darkest points in the scene. But other than that, it's just highlights and midtones dominate. So then you go the opposite with low key lighting, where you have a lot of the shadows are dominating. You do have some highlights, but it's basically shadows first are the priority, or they dominate the image, and then you go to some midtones, and then you have highlights in there. If any, it just depends on, the style of the photo and what the mood you're trying to capture as well. But it's like two different approaches to the same location, and these pictures, these photographs are like a few seconds apart, and I came up with two different, interpretations or opposite interpretations of them. So, now this is also high key, right? Dominated by highlights. And then you got the midtones with the tree branches. And then there's some shadow in there, but it's not overbearing shadow. Now, as far as the original, that's what it is. So this particular day was overcast, and again, this is still New York City winter time. I think it was March 2019. It was cold. It was in the teens, and in the wind chill, I know the wind chill when I first landed, I think it was -4. It was cold outside. So, yeah, no leaves on the tree. I just like the texture that this created. I wasn't crazy about the color tone, but I like the texture that the branches create. Right. So I zoomed in. I got a section of the tree that I really liked or really stood out to me. And yeah, I was just walking down the sidewalk and this stuck out to me. And you just go from tree to tree, you know, in a certain area, and you figure, okay, this is something that catches my attention. So that's really what stuck out to me. And then I ended up with the black and white. So it's pretty straightforward. Now, this particular scene, oh my goodness. This is probably the first image I captured. Let me go to the preview. Yeah, this is a hallway. And I wasn't expecting to get this photograph. Like, I didn't plan on, I was going somewhere, I had to meet someone, and I'm sitting here trying to figure out, okay, where is the right door? What floor am I supposed to be on? All that type stuff. So yeah, this was a lot of offices were in this building, and I think I went to the fourth floor or something like that. And I don't know, I just turned around and I saw this view of this long hallway, right? And I was like, wow, this reminds me of the Matrix. And so I wanted it to be symmetrical, you know, like the everything straight down the middle is equal on both sides. So there's a door here, you know, a door here on the left and on the right. And then there's a door all the way down at the end of the hall. And then there's this light at the top here that's just going straight down the middle. And so I tried to center it the best that I possibly could. And I remember at the time, I didn't know if I was going to have enough lighting to get a good exposure, and I didn't have my tripod either. Let me see my settings on here. Yeah, I opened the aperture all the way up, so f4. My shutter speed was a 50th of a second ISO. I kicked it up to 320. So it's got a little bit more green in it, but it's okay. Yeah, and it has this weird color tone to it, like a green, yellowish green. But I didn't want that. I didn't like the color tone at all. So I'm like, no, I'm not gonna go with that. Yeah, so I changed the profile to Adobe Vivid. You do have a lot of profiles in here. I think they changed the user interface because I haven't gone into here for a little bit. Yeah, so you have different presets, right? That looks nice, the monochrome. But it's like, I wanted color in it. But the black and white doesn't look bad at all, like at all. Now, the only thing, this in here, that light that's up here on the top left, that's in the way. So I had to take that out in Photoshop. But Adobe Raw, it's just like, I love tweaking the color temperature, the highlights, shadows, and then your midtones are going to fall somewhere in between, right? So you have to find that balance between the two. But then you have a bunch of different settings down here, which I don't really use any of these. I will say that Lightroom has some really good presets compared to what I have in Photoshop. And so you go to Lightroom, you can test out different presets to see what type of style you want for the photo. I believe you can pull the presets into Camera Raw. But I haven't done that in so long, I can't tell you right now how to do that. And then here's the favorites. And then you can go from, so like I said, I'm using Vivid, but there's, you got Adobe Color, and it's a slight shift, but it's definitely noticeable. And I think that my camera is set on Adobe Standard by default, but I like Vivid because of that pop, you know. And then if you like that high contrast with the highlights, because the highlights are really popping out, but you don't want the color, you can probably take the color out. So you bring the saturation all the way down. The vibrance, I think that can come down. Now again, the temperature is at 3750, the tint is at 41, so it's more purple. And then it's like more blue over here than yellow. But if you start skewing this way and adding more yellow, all your highlights are gonna start jumping out. If you add more blue or too much blue. So it's just trying to find, okay, how do I want to shift the color? Right. So there you go. Now, even if you want to keep the color, but you want to have a good tonal range between your highlights and your shadows, make the image black and white, fix the lighting, and then turn the color back on and see how it looks. Right, because in the black and white, when all the color is gone, the only thing that you're judging the image by is the highlights, the shadows, the midtones. It's not really about the color at all, because there's no color. So if you really want to have good lighting in your color photography, I would try shifting the profile to monochrome first. Set your lighting to how you want it to be, and then bring the color back in. So you can do that, like I said, by taking out the vibrance, especially the saturation. Fix the lighting and then bring the color back in. So then when you bring the color back in, everything pops. The color pops, the lighting still pops. And of course the profile is on Vivid. I really like the way that this looks. I guess the only other thing I would say also is always look at your photos blown up, because then you start to see there's a little crack in the ceiling. You see all this stuff in here. You see all the blemishes. That light there that has to move out the way. So you see all the blemishes. There's a little something right there. Like all this stuff on the wall, I would clean that up. And just do like a spot healing brush and clean all that up. So it blends in more. It's not like a blemish on the wall. There's a little speck or something on the camera sensor, so you have to look out for that. And you would just take that out. You can do some spot healing in Camera Raw, but the spot healing is, especially if it's complicated, spot healing is definitely better in Photoshop, I've found. But you do have, I believe it's the Band-Aid. Yep, that's the spot healing. So see the example up there? You can basically move the person out of the way, or like clone a different part of the image over that. But see, in Photoshop, you can just use content aware, and that also works. But yeah, you would just, hold on. I was hoping I would be able to move this with my finger. There we go. If I can get this right. And the size. And it's gone. This little blemish over here. That's gone. Oh. This doesn't work the same way it does in Photoshop. I can do it with my fingers. But you see those little white spots? You know, it just, there we go, and that's gone. And you just clean up the photo. Now, does this take a long time? Yes, it does. But that's basically what your approach would be. Because here's the thing. When you print the work, especially at a large size, it can be like a 24 by 36, something like that. But this one I can print as large as a 40 by 60, which 60 inches is 5 feet. So when you print something that large, and you walk up to it and people start looking at it, you're going to see a little bit of everything that you may have missed if you don't blow up the photo in editing and really look at all the details and make sure there's nothing, there's no dirt that's showing from the camera sensor. There's no blemishes in the interior that you don't want to see. But yeah, that's really what you want to do, is just take your time and decide like how much you want to take out and smooth out and blend in and all that. But yeah, this one took me a while to go through and finish, especially because I had a rough time kind of getting this out. Now, back then, Photoshop, the content aware wasn't as good as it is right now, right? So right now, something like this would be a lot easier to do, especially in Photoshop. But yeah, the thing is that my point being is when you approach a photo, you have to look at the photo not as what it is, but what it can be, right? What can this photo be? And then you just let your imagination go, right, as you start tweaking the adjustments. So you go from something that's got a lot of green and yellow into something that's more white and a shade of blue or like a slate gray. So you just change it, and then you take it into Photoshop after this point, and there you go. The light is gone that was up here in the corner. Yeah, it's Let's see if I can zoom in. Yeah, all that stuff is gone. So you just keep practicing to the point where hopefully no one can tell that you made changes. Hopefully no one can tell that you made changes to it. So that's one of my favorite ones, one of my favorite edits. All right, so there is one more for sure. Let's see. Hold on, let me go. This isn't the one. But this is the color version. And then I end up sticking with the black and white version. So. Gosh. I don't know. I might want to try a color version of this one. But this is not the one that I wanted to see. This one, the same thing. That's where I started. And then the finished is that one. So that's what you really have to see. Because look at the original. I like the texture. I like the lighting, but it's dull. Like everything, again, is in the midtones. So I pulled up the highlights, not like a blanket edit, but I did a lot of dodging and burning. The dodging kicks up the highlights. And in the burning, it darkens your shadows. At least that's how I set it in Photoshop. So in certain areas, I added more highlights, and then in certain areas, I darkened it with the burn. So I did a little dodging here, dodging here. Let me blow this up a little bit more. Come on. Yeah, so it's dodging here, kick up those highlights here on that rock. And then burning pretty much around it. So then it's like shaping the composition, you know. And then the rest of it, I just left it alone. Like I did like a base where I wanted the base lighting to be. And then I darkened the shadows in a few places. I kicked the highlights up in a few places. You just go by feel and try to get a feel for how you want the image to look. But basically, I just encourage photographers not to have your photographs too flat, even if it is flat, because there's no depth on this. Not really, not a lot. So you have to create depth by separating the highlights from the shadows, from the midtones. So where does your eye go first? It goes to the lightest part of the image, which is where I emphasize the highlights up here. And then you go to the midtones throughout, and then your eye goes to the shadows, which are the darkest parts of the image. And so it's, even though it's flat, right, it's still layered. It has enough layers to it. So you just build those layers into an image if the subject that you're photographing is pretty flat. Which is like complete opposite of this, right? This isn't flat. This has plenty of depth. So this is a lot of midtones. And I felt like I didn't need to kick up the highlights. and I didn't need to pull the shadows down. I like the color. I like where the midtones were. Darken the shadows a little bit, kick up the highlights a little bit, but it wasn't anything like major. It's just finding a really good balance where the midtones are. And I think with this one, this is the origin or the original, and this is what I ended up with. So yeah, completely different. In the original, you can't even see this pile of rocks or stones right here. Can't even see them. So yeah, and in the clouds, the sky, I mean, I punched this one up quite a bit. I think I did like an HDR run on it or something close to it. And in terms of how much the highlights I added, the midtones are a lot brighter. The shadows are about the same, but a little bit darker. And then there's a whole lot of texture in this as well. So that's a huge difference. But again, my point is, like, if you end up capturing a picture like this in the original, see how far you can push it before you try to get it published, you know. And so this one took me quite some time to get it right. Yeah, it took me a while to get this one right. Yeah, so I have different versions of this one. And then when you print your work, it's going to come out darker than it looks on your screen, especially if your screen is too bright, your monitor is too bright. So you have to be careful with that as well. Most of the time, like, I'll order like 4x6 inch sample prints, and I had to learn where my brightness should be on my monitor, on my iPad, so that my sample prints will turn out with the right brightness. Now, this will be the last one that I'll go over. This is very flat, very, very flat, and I've shared this one before. So again, there's not a lot of depth on this one. I would say same principle. Let's see, I'm getting these both on the same time. There we go. Same principle. I like the color. I like the composition. But this is all, the original is all mid-tone. Well, not all mid-tone. You got a little bit of highlight here. And of course, you have the shadow back here. But it doesn't really pop, right? Because it looks like it's flat. So what I decided to do is I emphasized the highlight here. I really dropped the shadows. Excuse me. Dropped the shadows quite a bit. And then did like a blanket add with the whites. Adding, like, it's not really highlights, but the midtones are brighter. So again, it's that separating the highlights and the shadows, and then having the midtones fall somewhere in between, and just getting a balance of that. So there's my temperature again at 4850. I'm on Adobe Vivid for the profile. My exposure is up a little bit. My highlights are actually down. Shadows are down, minus 100. The white's about halfway up at plus 48. And then the black's about halfway down at minus 56. And then sometimes I use a point system, like I'll do a +5 or a -5 if I'm right on the edge of something that I want to see what it does. And just, you know, find that sweet spot there. Like the blacks are -56, right? So if I think I want to go just slightly darker, I would go another -5 and I'll go like a -6, -61. And if -61 is too dark, I'll kind of kick it up 1 point by 1 point. It can be -58. And then if I land back on 56, being a sweet spot, that's fine, right? And it's just trying to build a system where I have like a process of elimination with all these settings. But yeah, you just find a spot where you want it and go with that. And then there's dehaze. Dehaze takes that like a smoky. Okay, so you move left, you add simulated haze. You move right to remove the haze. It's like you got haze in the air, which is also like that gray tone over the photo. So you have to dehaze to take that out, right? And I'm at +70. So if I add the haze back in, or you go -20, and see, that's where that haze really comes in, where it's flat. So even if I'm at 0, I'm like, okay, but that's still not enough separation between the highlights and the shadows. So I just kept pushing. Now you can push to 100. That's a little bit too dark to me. So I pulled it back and I landed on 70. I'm like, you know what? Between 70 and 100, I like that it fell like right there. So. There's your noise reduction with the luminance and then the color. There is denoise, which I really haven't used yet, but that's a new feature that's in Camera Raw. And then optics, remove the chromatic aberration, and there's your profile correction. So there you go. Cancel all changes, yes. But yeah, I think that's it. And this one was in 2021. I'm curious to see where this is as far as the original. Here's another one. Yeah. It's pretty flat. And then the end one, the finished. The color just jumps out at you. So yeah, if you had that hazy look to the photograph, then dehaze really works. Yeah, because it looks like there's a haze in the air. You know, and a lot of that can be your studio lights bouncing off of whatever you're photographing. But that's what I have. So yeah, it's just challenging, especially new photographers, to really have more dimension and depth into your work, because I mean it really does add it's really nice. I'm gonna cancel. All right, so I'm gonna spend the rest of the evening just adding more work to the website. There's over 100 photographs already added to the website, and there's probably over 100 more that I have to add. So I try to do a little bit every day, and yeah, and just go from there. So I'm really excited about getting more work added to the website. Thank you all for tuning in, and I will see you on the next one. All right, everyone, take care. Have a good evening.